Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show, the big show, the most important and critically acclaimed podcast that is recorded in our car. And I must admit, that vehicle behind us as we're driving along is ridiculous.
Look at
that thing. What on earth?
Have you ever seen a tricycle pulling a camper?
Not just a camper, but a pretty big one.
I wonder if he's going up to Sturgis.
Sturgis should be over by the time.
Oh, yeah, it is over.
We're getting past here. Look at this as it goes past us. It's one of those teardrop campers, but that thing, look at this rig.
It's huge. I've had cars smaller than that.
Anyway, welcome to the show. There's our digression for this. And we're here to talk to you today about Spice's big adventures. Well, okay, we're not going to talk to you about Spice's big adventures, because she's been off gallivanting around the globe while I've been working.
Yes. Yes. I temporarily left him to go gallivanting.
She was gallivanting. But she's back. Bruised toes and all.
They did pretty good for 100 miles in a week.
And she's here to do some reinforcement, some education, and some talking about some stuff that she learned. And she and her hiking partner, Doc, went out and traveled the wild, wild west. Okay, maybe not that wild.
It was fairly wild in places, actually.
Gallivanted with grizzly bears. Had standoffs with bison.
We let the bison win because they're bigger.
And saw some unbelievably stupid tourists.
Quite.
So there's that. And she's got some prepping related stuff to share. So I'll just let you start in on topic number one.
Trekking poles, probably
trekking
a good place
poles.
To start. I saw a lot of those on the trails. My hiking partner, Doc, is an actual physician, unlike me, and is also a big hiker. And when I say a big hiker, I mean she does marathon-level hikes.
I was going to say, she's not that big. She's actually a pretty normal-sized person. Oh, you mean the size of the hikes?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She knows how to go a long ways by foot.
She looks pretty fit, actually, but, you know, okay, whatever.
So we went on a hiking vacation to places out west. And one of the things I saw a lot of was trekking poles, and she had a pair, but she doesn't usually carry them. So I thought I would experiment with them one day, and so I could share with y'all what I found out about those trekking poles, because a lot of people plan to hike out of trouble with a backpack. They've got their bug-out bag packed, and it's a backpack. Should you have the trekking poles with them to use when you're hiking your way out of trouble? That was the core idea. So I wanted to challenge them a little bit. So I took them on a hike that was up a mountain canyon, and obviously back down, through some rocky trails with some bad footing. Steep uphills, steep downhills, other areas of fairly flat, nicely packed trail around the lake areas. Mixture of terrain.
May I give a caveat here? May I throw out a caveat?
Please, beware them.
Where she was, when she says mountain, she means actual mountain. Not a hill pretending to be a mountain. We're talking the Rocky Mountains. Big granite things sticking up there in the sky kind of mountains.
We were looking down on the glaciers at points, yeah.
So keeping that in mind, we're not talking about a 500-foot tall hill here. We're talking about, you know, and we're not talking about a mile and a half jaunt on a paved trail. We're talking, this is a 20-mile type hike.
Yeah. It was actually, this particular one was 19 miles long. And I was wearing a pack because we wanted to bring the spotting scope with us. My pack weighed a little over 30 pounds, which is pretty heavy for me to hike. So that was a challenging day for me. But I had the trekking poles. The trekking poles were part of the 30 pounds.
At least you didn't have to carry her dog.
Yeah, she left the dogs at home this time. Can't take dogs on the trails in national parks because they make too much trouble with the wildlife.
Oh yeah, dogs will tear things up.
And tourists get really cranky when bears swap their dogs into a paste.
And dogs think that they're all that, and they're not.
Yeah, the bears don't think so.
Even a black bear will just turn your dog into a pasté.
Yeah. So, no dogs this trip.
No dogs.
The funny thing is, well, of course, I did see most of the hikers within 3 or 4 miles of the trailheads, because most people don't want to hike more than 6 or 7 miles. But that's where I saw most of the hiking poles. The people I saw farther back, most of them weren't carrying poles, and I think I know why now. There is a value to these poles when you're on bad footing, because they give you a couple of other points of contact with the ground. And the good ones have all grippy tips, sometimes spiky grippy tips, on the end of them. So that if a foot slips when you're going downhill, you can shift some of the weight onto the poles. Because when you're carrying a pack, you come down a lot harder and a lot faster and a lot weirder angles than when you're walking unweighted. And until you've walked a little bit with a weight on your back and had your feet slip out from under you, it really surprises you how fast and easy you can come down when you've got that pack, even a well-packed pack, on your back. So they give you an extra point of contact with the ground. So when the footing's bad, they're kind of nice to have for that reason. Particularly on downhills, which are a lot more sketchy than uphills. Downhills are hard.
I actually, you know, I'm not a hiker in any way, sense of the form. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't like walking. I don't mind riding a bicycle. I don't mind going. It's just the actual hiking I don't enjoy. I'll do it if I have to. I'll do it to get there, to get the picture. But I don't like it. And one of the reasons I don't like it isn't the uphill, it's the downhill. Because I really struggle with downhills. And hiking poles might be a good thing for me.
Yes.
On a downhill.
I would suggest Salty carry them if we were going to be doing a lot of hills. Because of his knees. That's the main value of them, is going downhill, you put the poles down first before your lead foot goes down. And you shift a little bit of your weight onto the poles as you go down. And it greatly reduces the stress on your leading knee as it reaches the bottom.
Well, this ought to tell you, one of us took a really nasty, well, it wasn't, no injury, but a really sharp fall during this 2 weeks period. And it wasn't her, it was me. I was actually at a photography event, and I fell down walking up a flight of stairs. And as always happens when I fall or crash, and guys, you'll know what I'm talking about here. I'm sorry, this may be a guy thing. But the absolute most attractive female within 100 yards of me is standing right down there next to me going, "Oh, you poor thing, are you all right?" Crushing... I mean, I lose 1,000 man points. Just boom, just right there from her crushing concern over my ineptitude.
Good thing football season's back.
Right. Now, I was actually, yeah, good thing, because, man, you know, 1,000 points, that's several games worth of watching. I was actually walking up a set of stairs, and I was wearing sandals, and the front part of my sandals caught on the lip of this stair, and down I went. I had a camera in my hand, and it went flying. Fortunately, it was an Argus C3, which is also known as the Brick, and they are indestructible. Yes, it was a film photography thing. So, and my Argus C3 was just fine.
Yeah, of course, the camera people were all concerned about the gear, but then they saw it was a brick, and they're like, oh, okay.
Oh, whatever, I guess.
Well, then it'll probably be fine.
Worst case, the camera's destroyed, and I'm out $10, you know.
Actually, I had that same kind of move where the trailing foot catches on the lip of something and threatens to throw me forward. I had that happen several times. I never actually went face first, but I got awfully close, especially late in the day when you get tired and you're stepping over a lot of rocks. It's a very
easy. One thing I will tell you, that exercise that you do where you're on the ball,
the balance ball,
balance ball, where you're doing the weight across the body kind of pull thing.
Yes.
I've got a picture of this. I'll try and post it sometime. When she's doing that, that really helps the balance. I admit that.
It helps the balance and it helps the ankle strength.
I could never do that.
That's why I do those exercises that way. Yeah. And I didn't break or twist any ankles in these bad footings. So that's part of why I do that stuff.
And playing a sport on skates doesn't hurt anything either.
Yeah, that's one of the places I was worried about breaking my ankles. So, yeah, when the footing is bad and when you're doing a lot of downhills, in those situations, especially if your balance isn't optimal, trekking poles can be helpful for you. But you got to carry them all the time.
They're not that heavy.
No.
But every ounce is another ounce.
It adds up. Over the miles, you notice every bit of weight. And a lot of people I saw using them were using them on perfectly flat, perfectly nicely groomed trails, close to the trailheads, the ones the park department actually maintains well, because a lot of people use them. Unlike some of the trails in the backcountry, which, yeah. Compasses, guys. Compasses. I'll hit that later. But when you're up close to the trailheads and things are nicely groomed, it is just a waste of things to carry, and you got to move your arms to swing the poles with every step. Some people like them for that reason. They will use them in their little walk around the park and stuff just to give them a little more upper body workout.
In case you're wondering, that is where our TV transmitter actually is.
Yeah, I see the ginormous tower there. So, on the flat, on nicely groomed surfaces, if you plan to be using roads most of the time, probably not worth it. If you're going to be on bad footing, especially gravelly surfaces on steep hills or snow on steep hills. The people who trek in the snow carry these guys a lot, and I can see why. When the footing is slick, I probably would too. But when the footing was pretty good, I thought the effort of moving them around all the time made them not worth it to me. But if you're going to do it, one thing, almost all of them are collapsible, so you can get them short enough that you can attach them to the back of the pack and they don't catch on stuff when you're not using them. Make sure that the connections that hold them extended are firm, because you don't want one of these things collapsing by surprise. And cheapoid ones can be like cheapoid tripod legs and just collapse on you without any warning.
Yeah, we actually I bought a set of cheapoid ones just to see if we would like them. And they're not strong enough. But I'm only out a couple bucks, or a few bucks. So I saw them on sale, and I'll try them. But yeah, there's multiple different ways of getting these tripod legs to stay up. Or these pole legs to stay up. And I can tell you without doing any research, there's one type of closure system that works much, much better than all the rest, because I've dealt with tripods for the last 35 years. And there's one type of closure system that works. If we ever bought a good set of poles, which I doubt we will, but if we did, I know exactly what to look for in the closure system.
Which is?
The ones that have the little flip lever.
Yeah. The expensive...
Yeah, the expensive.
Trekking poles had those.
Yeah.
The cheaper trekking poles have the twist ones.
The twist ones are
especially
not good.
When you're using them as trekking poles, because every time you put them down, if there's just a little bit of rotation to your wrist, every time you put them down, you can loosen those things on you.
Now, you can use just one pole.
Some people do, yeah.
Some people do. And here's a trick that I have in mind for that. If I were going to do this, I would get money is these things are expensive, okay? But I would get a fiber, what you call it?
Fiberglass?
Not fiberglass, composite, like your bike is made out of?
Carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber. Thank you. I would get a carbon fiber photography monopod. It would be heavier. I admit it. It would be heavier. But it is
They're a lot heavier duty.
And frankly, since I'm a photographer, I've got a monopod with me. So all I got to do is screw my camera on it. So it's dual purpose for me.
Yeah, you'd want some sort of a cap on the end that would be removable so you could put your camera on it and put your hand on it too.
Well, they got the good monopods have that grips on them, the expensive ones.
Well, if you are using these as trekking poles, nice segue there. If you're going to use a trekking pole, my partner did show me the best way to use them if you want to use them. You're using them mainly to go up and down hills. So when you're going downhill, which is their main use, you set them so that they're tall enough that the hand grips are about equal in height with the bottom of your ribs, with your little short ribs, false ribs there. So they're actually higher than waist level. Because it feels like you want them at waist level, but you're using them when you go down. And then you put your hands on top of the poles instead of holding them by the side, because it's a better wrist angle for weight transference. That's why I was talking about the padded handle. And you set the poles down on the down step before your body goes down there.
I'll come up.
And you got your hands on top of those
guys.
I'm going
to make an invention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've actually got a good quality monopod. I have a bunch of monopods, but I have one really good one.
Going up and down the steep ravines out at the place, for example, if you had to tramp around in the woods back there a lot, you would want at least one of these trekking poles. Because the footing is bad and it's steep, and that's the right time to do it.
Here we are. We are in the Hapnenburg of Lancaster, Missouri. Woohoo!
And they have an ugly courthouse.
Schuyler County. Stop the presses. And now we're leaving Lancaster, Missouri. We're going somewhere.
They've had their tourism for the day.
So if anybody looks up Lancaster, Missouri, you will find out that it is, not surprisingly, in North Missouri.
But their church is pretty. So there we are. So, yeah, you set the poles so they're taller than you think you're going to want them, because you put them down the hill first. And then you shift your weight onto them as you step down with your lead foot. And they reduce the pressure that you put on the knee of the lead foot quite a bit. And then you move them both down together and step down that way.
Okay.
Now, there is one other reason you might carry them. That I saw. I saw a guy out there on one of the trails with an artificial leg. And he was basically using his trekking poles as a lightweight, easily mobile set of crutches. Instead of moving the same way you'd move crutches as you walk, he was using them the same way with his artificial leg. And he was getting on a lot better than a lot of other people on that trail. So if you know you got a bum leg and you got to walk, that's another good reason to carry trekking poles. They've all got wrist straps. You put them on the wrist straps so you can let go of them if you need to, because if you do start to fall, you want your hands out in front of your face, and you don't want your trekking pole to go skittering down the mountain without you.
But given the choice, better that than you going skittering down the mountain with it.
Yeah.
Want to go to the Hapnenburg of Glenwood?
Sure, since it's on our way.
Since it's on our way.
I wouldn't go out of my way for Glenwood, to be honest with you.
Then we're off to Unionville, then Princeton, then Trenton.
Yep.
It's almost like a little song.
It is now. So, I kind of wished I had them crossing creeks a time or two. Those fast-running mountain streams with the slick, rounded rocks with algae on the bottom. And getting up the other side, which sometimes was full of bison muck. But none of that was worth me carrying them most of the time. After that one 20-mile experiment, I left them in the car for the rest of the trip. And my hiking companion didn't want them either. She uses them only when, as they say in the mountains, winter conditions persist.
Now, what are our lessons from this? Well, by the way, that my way of doing it, if we can come up with a top for the monopod.
Yeah.
Also gives you a really nice platform for your spotting scope. You drop your spotting scope on top of it.
Yeah.
Because you put a quick release on it. And you put your spotting scope on top of that. And it's much more solid. You can see a lot better. My takeaways are, as somebody who's a photographer and imager, my first thought is, hey, let's start looking. Before you go the next time, let's get you a light spotting scope. Not that apparently heavy thing she had.
It was a good spotting scope, but it wasn't a particularly light spotting scope.
Oh, they make really light spotting scopes.
I was carrying the tripod with it, too.
Again, the monopod.
Yeah. The cheap tripods.
We'll take care of this. Yeah. This. Don't worry about that. Don't lose any sleep now, people. Don't lose any sleep over this. We're going to take care of this.
He will set me up.
We've got this, okay? We'll take care of it. It's all right. Anyway, I'm sorry. It was a little bit of a joke there.
Salty can be counted upon.
Yes.
To take care of my equipment needs.
Yes. And, anyway, pressing on.
But trekking poles are probably not one of my equipment needs, unless I have to walk on ice or something. Yeah, I might do it then. But most of the time, no. If I had to climb down a whole freaking mountain, I'd want to have them. One of the posters, I just put this article up on 3BY this morning. Salty posted it on 3BY this morning.
Are we going to talk about that poster? Ooh, I have to watch what I have to say. Go ahead.
You're good. No, one guy was just suggesting he prefers the wooden ones because they're quieter.
Oh, I didn't see
a regular
that.
Wooden walking staff because they're quieter. And you do hear a tick sound every time you put one of these trekking poles down, it's true. I personally wouldn't go with wood because, as I say, the weight adds up. And if it's sturdy enough to take body weight, and it's made of wood, it's heavy enough that I don't want to be swinging it every step of the way for 19 miles.
Another problem with the wood, of course, being that it also is one size. The uphill size and the downhill size are the same size. You can't make it shorter.
Yeah, there is no putting your hand on top like a cap for that size of thing. And you can't shorten it when you're on the flat to attach it conveniently to the backpack. So it wouldn't be my choice. But to be honest with you, I'm a 120-pound woman. So a big, strong man might have a different weight-benefit ratio than I've got. I can't carry a whole lot for that many miles.
Okay, now there's going to be a second part to this, too. So just go ahead and finish up your points, and I'm going to throw a second part in there.
That basically finishes up what I had to say about trekking poles.
Okay, we had another comment on the article, which has already been published. And I don't like to give opinions on what I think of most people's thoughts and feelings because, hey, we appreciate all comments, and we're open to listening to what everybody has to say. But this one comment, I saw that, and I'm like, not sure if serious. And I'm not putting the commenter down, but it struck me as what an unusual way of looking at things. Basically the commenter said, well, I'm going to be carrying a gun if I'm bugging out. Carrying a rifle in my hands. And I'm like, not sure if serious.
I was trying to visualize myself carrying even my Tavor, which is a nice, compact, easy to carry rifle. Trying to carry that while walking up and down these things? No, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that might be fine walking down the street in a suburb, but mountains, okay? These are mountains. You know, the military does not carry rifles in their hands in these situations. They carry rifles, but they don't carry them in their hands. They keep them slung unless they're in an imminent combat situation.
Because the risk of damaging your legs by not having a hand free to help catch yourself is greater than the risk of taking the extra 2 seconds to get a quick slung rifle into position.
Especially,
now, this guy might be thinking about walking out of a city.
Right. And that so
on paved roads.
That's fine.
That's a different situation.
But you don't need trekking poles walking out of a city.
Yeah.
You just don't need anything like that walking out of a city. We're talking about something here for bugging out once you're actually out into where God and his creatures live. You know, out into the, we call them the hinterlands.
If the road is paved and there's not ice and snow on it, you don't need trekking poles unless your situation, like your knee situation, is extreme.
Right.
In my opinion, they're a waste of carrying weight and effort.
Right. Now, if I were bugging out by foot, I wouldn't use them unless I'm not on a paved road. But I have no intention of bugging out by foot. That's why God made bicycles.
Yes.
If I'm on a paved road, what in the world am I doing on foot? If I'm bugging out, I want out. And the fastest way to get out is on wheels. And we talk a lot about this because I'm a big believer in this. Okay, anyway. But the other part of my thing is not everything is about a combat situation. It really isn't. And we always are big believers in practice what you preach. So, you know, if you're planning on bugging out a certain way, then you need to strap the amount of weight you're planning on carrying on your back and go do it.
Same kind of terrain.
Same kind of terrain. Footwear. I mean, if that's walking around the neighborhood with a backpack, walk around the neighborhood with a backpack.
If people question you or you think it looks funny, you tell them you're getting ready for a hiking vacation and now you're no longer weird. Congratulations. Everybody gets that.
Yeah. Like, hey, I'm going hiking next month in the mountain. Better get ready. I'm getting used to the load. Oh, yeah, boom. Going vacation. Yes. Right? So, my point being, practice what you do. We plan on bugging out by bicycles. When's the last time I rode a bicycle? Well, 2 days ago.
That's when I rode mine this morning.
She rode hers this morning? I didn't ride mine. I was tired. I didn't get up early. I was tired. So, I'll probably hit the gym when we get home and do the exercise bike thing. But, you know, still, there we are. Okay, now, she's looking at her exercise watch. Which we have an article on the website.
Article on fitness watches.
So, anyway, long story short, trekking poles. We're going to skip on them, but you may want them.
Bad knees, bad footing, lots of downhills. Make them more valuable.
And we'll come back to trekking poles, buying trekking poles. We generally come back to anything related like this. We come back to the famous quote by bicycle manufacturer and racer Keith Bontrager.
Yep.
Light, strong, cheap.
Pick two.
And if it comes to something that you're planning on using in a critical life-dependent situation, don't have the cheap one be the one you pick. Go with light and strong. Okay. Want to wrap it?
I'm done.
She's done.
Have a good day.
We're done. Bye.